This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. Saudi Arabia is offering a limited amnesty to Islamic militants who have terrorized the country recently with suicide bombings, attacks, and kidnappings. The offer suggests that despite the upsurge in violence, the Saudi royal family has a firm grip on power. NPR's Julie McCarthy reports from Jeddah.
The de facto leader of Saudi Arabia, Crown Prince Abdullah, delivered the ultimatum about the country's extremists in a brief nationally televised address yesterday.
If they give themselves up without force within 1 month maximum from the date of this speech, we can promise them that they are going to be safe.
The Crown Prince added that should any extremist be obstinate and reject the offer, he will face resolute force. Analysts say it is unlikely that those involved in the string of attacks which have sent shockwaves through the country would surrender themselves. The amnesty appears aimed at younger militants who may not have participated yet in any attacks. Experts see the move as building on the successful raid Saudi officials carried out last week. Within hours of the beheading of American engineer Paul Johnson in Riyadh, authorities killed the self-proclaimed leader of al-Qaeda in Saudi Arabia and three other militants thought to be responsible for Johnson's execution. Hussein Shabakshi, a prominent Saudi businessman and commentator, says the government has made inroads into the extremist structure, but says it is difficult to know how significant those inroads are.
One of the biggest mysteries that have been circulating around is the number of the people who belong to al-Qaeda, and I think most of the numbers are really nothing but speculation.
Speaking to a small group of reporters yesterday, Saudi Foreign Minister Prince Saud al-Faisal projected an air of cautious confidence about the government's ability to eradicate the threat of terror on Saudi soil, and said the country will do everything it can to secure the safety of foreign nationals who make up a vital part of the Saudi economy. He called the decision by foreign governments, including the United States, to urge their citizens to leave unwise.
If you run away from terrorism, you never fight it. And then you will be cornered and not the terrorists.
Prince Saud al-Faisal was asked how destabilizing the Saudi extremists are to the survival of the royal family. He replied, "We are still here.
We keep proving to be resilient."
While the ruling structures may not be threatened, foreign interests represented by a large expatriate community have come under direct assault. Members of the American expatriate community have suggested that the U.S. intelligence agencies could play a more active role in assisting the Saudis. But Hussein Shabakshi says there are serious reservations about involving the Americans more deeply.
I might sound cynical, but truly there is a huge credibility question about the efficiency and effectiveness of the American powers here, particularly after the fiasco of the CIA and the weapons of mass destruction issue. People are questioning the efficiency of the CIA, the DIA, the FBI, simply from a professional point of view, let alone a sovereign, obviously, issue as well.
Analysts say Saudis generally are enthusiastic with the government's most recent crackdown and agree that public disgust at the emergence of extremists has also boosted support for the ruling family. But writer and columnist Suleiman Hatlan says that support can only be sustained if the House of Saud is willing to make good on its promises to reform the country's closed political system and rigid laws restricting women.
I strongly believe reform, a genuine reform, a serious reform, a practical reform, an immediate reform, is the best way to fight against al-Qaeda.
Violence will continue and anger will grow. Analysts generally agree that a reformed Saudi Arabia is the most effective antidote to the extremists who seek to hold back Saudi society. Julie McCarthy, NPR News, Jeddah.